Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. We're talking hoops today, and just quite a bit's going on in the world of college basketball. There's no question about it. A lot going on here in the Northwest. Right now, I'm having a little bit of trouble with the network in New York, so I've got a little bit of a technical problem with a server issue, I believe. So I'm on the air, but I'm hoping to get my guests on. I'm having a hard time getting to my console, as it were. And so that's what we're doing here in the wonderful world of virtual reality. Just while I iron that situation out, first of all, I've got some guests scheduled today, and we're going to be definitely looking at the state of Idaho pretty closely. We've got assistant coach Kirk Earlywine from the Idaho Vandals scheduled here at 11 a.m. And at 10:30, we've got former Washington Husky and also Boise State and Portland Trailblazer star Roberto Bergerson back to talk about the Boise State Broncos. And we're going to be focusing a little bit on Boise State, actually. We'll be having very shortly next week assistant coach Mike Burns from Boise State as well to talk about Boise State and what's going on with them and kind of give a little bit of a breakdown on what's to expect in the Mountain West. But for now, I'm just kind of treading water until I can get the program open. I don't know why it's not working. It's kind of very difficult here for some reason. But while we're doing that, just to briefly go over some of the news of the week, and there's lots of it. First of all, starting over here in Seattle, Seattle U went out to Nashville and took on Detroit Mercy, a team that's known as a real tough out, high tempo kind of a team, a lot of good solid basketball history, and really took them down hard. I mean, there was, the Red Hawks were, I mean, to say that it was a blowout was probably, an understatement. They really, really did a number on them. And obviously the stats kind of speak for themselves. I mean, just a lot of guys, they scored over 100 points. Just a lot of things happened here with this. And, it was a big game. There's no question about it for Seattle U to sort of build confidence. Maddie Kavis, I guess, he scored 27 points with 7 3-pointers, 7 of 9 from three. Jordan Hill also scored big, 17 points, and he was also, elected to the tournament team, the first team in this 2K Classic that this was the first game of there in Nashville. And then Aaron Menzies and Josh Hurley, he both had 16. Menzies adding 10 rebounds, Hurley 7 assists. And, there was other good stories as well to add to that. So, and, obviously Roberto Gittins had, kind of he's been their leading scorer and going into the game. And he had a little bit of a down game, really. But off the bench, he scored 9 points on 4-6 from the field. And he played fewer minutes than normally, 19 minutes. But there was some other good stories out there. Morgan Means had another solid game, with 7 points. And then, of course, Aaron Nettle stepped into the mix as well, getting some licks in with 7 points also. So it was a nice, solid effort. And those are pretty much the guys that I mentioned. DeCampos also logged 12 minutes, and Olineo 10 minutes. But their rotation seems to be about 9 deep, and Jake Spurgeon getting 8 points in there too as well. So that was a good story. And then they went ahead and face down with my Here it is. Okay, we're finally back here. There we got our guests. All right, great. All great stuff. Hey there. I'm sorry for the delay. We had some real problems with the server in New York. And Roberto Bergeson, great to have you on the air and on the show. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
I appreciate the patience. I was experiencing all kinds of problems with getting the studio, kind of program up on my computer because I guess I had some network problems. They said there was a server issue, so I was just scrambling to get this together. But we lucked out; we got it together in time, and hopefully there won't be any problems with this the rest of the show. And how are things down in Boise?
Actually, I'm not even in Boise right now. I'm actually in Branson, Missouri. Well, at this moment, I'm driving to Enid, Oklahoma, but I'm in Branson this year, Missouri. I took a job at a prep school in Branson for the season, so I'm actually not in Boise right now.
That's fantastic. Yeah. You're going to Branson, and I mean, that's for people in the Northwest that aren't aware so much of that part of the country. That's a big entertainment town. It's kind of boomed over the last 20 years to become like a mini kind of Las Vegas / Nashville kind of a thing. Lots and lots of venues for live music and all that kind of stuff. What brought you out there?
Well, yeah, you got that right. They don't call it the Hillbilly Vegas for nothing.
That's what it is. Exactly. And you're coaching basketball, which is definitely your forte. And is the whole family going with you?
The whole family is not going with me. I don't know if you guys know, but my oldest, he's at BYU now. My oldest actually
right.
played at this prep school last year. So he played
oh,
at this
cool.
prep school that last year, along with one of my other former players, DeAndre Jones, who's at UCA, who almost upset UCLA last week.
You bet they did.
That's in Arkansas. And then another one of our kids, Logan Miller, who played for me. He also went to this prep school. He's at a junior college, Garden City now. So, he's obviously at BYU. And then my youngest and my wife, they're still in Boise. And my two youngest kids are in Boise. My youngest, who's an eighth grader, he is going to come out and spend some time with me and spend the rest of the year after the holiday. So I'm out here. I'm a lonesome right now. But I got 18 new kids. 18 new kids that I'm taking care of, and trust me, they're a handful.
That sounds good. And what is the name of the school that you're coaching?
It's called Link Year Prep. So Link, L-I-N-K.
Fantastic. Well, that's big news here, as far as I'm concerned. So you're trying your hand at the coaching thing outside of the AAU business. Have you ever coached anywhere before this, as far as a school?
Nope. Nope. I've never coached. All I had done was just the AAU stuff.
Right, right. And is that going to be turned over to somebody else in down there in Boise?
No, not necessarily. I'm still doing, doing all the stuff. I mean, over the years we've grown, and we are a nonprofit, so we are governed by a board. And, I mean, I've had a board president for years, and we have all those people that kind of take care of that stuff, have a couple of executive directors that, handle, a lot of the day-to-day administration work. I have a good friend of mine who actually is the coordinator for my girl side. And so I'll still do all the stuff that I've been doing mostly. There's a couple of programs that I actually am physically, hands on there every day. Our little kids program that we run called Little Dreamers is our start. And then I coach all of our high school teams. So I kind of bookend it. And then all the other stuff, I've been the director of the curriculum. So I help coach the coaches and all the other teams. So I'll be gone for
right.
that much, but I'll still be, but I'm still, I'm still doing it. And it's still obviously, it is my baby, it's my passion.
Sure.
So this is a seasonal thing. I'll be here for the season. The season's over in March, and then I'll head back to Boise and assume all the other physical duties of being there in place. So
great. And so this is a prep school that, needless to say, you know, has produced some D1 players. Who are some of the names that this specific school you're coaching at right now has put into Division One men's?
This is just the third year of the program. So it's the third year that they've had a basketball program. The school's been in existence for a while, but it's the third year of the basketball program. The first year they had a program, I think they had two kids that went Division One. One of them is at Central Arkansas, and he was actually a walk-on. And then the other two kids that they had went to John Brown. They played Division Two. And so they didn't have any other Division One kids from that year. The second year, which was last year, was my son year, obviously. So Rylan Bergerson's at BYU. DeAndre Jones is at Central Arkansas. They have another kid, Hayden Koval, who's a seven-footer who played very well in that UCLA game. He's at Central Arkansas.
Yep.
Matt Mondesir is also at Central Arkansas. They have three kids from that team last year that all went to Central Arkansas, which was kind of cool. They have
Especially since they look real good against UCLA, that's for sure.
That was all three, and all three of them play well. There are two kids that are at. There's a kid named Brandon Battle who is at Jacksonville Junior College, and he'll be a Division One player. Logan Miller's at Garden City, and he'll also be on the roster next year for sure. The other kid is Mason Jones, and Mason Jones is the little brother of Matt Jones, who was previously at Duke.
Sure, of course,
And he'll be a Division I player. He's at a junior college this year. I'm trying to think of who else I'm forgetting from that roster. And so that was pretty good. So those guys were good.
Yeah.
And so far this year, we have three Division I signees that signed in the early period. Muhammad Abdusalam has signed with UNC Greensboro. Angelo Allegri has also signed with UNC Greensboro, and then Porter Anderson has signed with Central Arkansas. So Central Arkansas has done a pretty good job of getting out here and kind of getting in and seeing our guys and getting them. So.
Right, right. Well, that's a big story, and I think because we want to keep in touch with you, you know, I would like to hear more about the way things are going with that. We can talk more about the nuances of what's going on out there in Branson, Missouri. But I wanted to ask you about Boise. What are some of the, since we last spoke to you, is it maybe some of the new faces that have started to pop up there as far as kids coming up in the town and in the community and in the region that maybe we're going to start hearing about, going towards college play and so forth?
Well, I'll start with talking about just maybe even touch base with some of the kids that we're already in college, but maybe in some new places or doing some new things. And one is is Isaiah Wright. Isaiah Wright is the kid who was at Utah. He started at Utah and played as a freshman and sophomore and transferred and sat out last year at University of San Diego. And so he's at San Diego now. And he was the West Coast Conference player of the week the first week, and he's just been killing it. And so he's doing great. And so you guys, you're going to be hearing his name all year long because he's gonna do well in that league. The second guy is EJ Boyce. He was at San Jose last year now he's at St. Martin's, and St. Martin's who almost upset UW, and he was 7 for 9 from three in that game. And then he was 9 for 12 for another game, and so he's doing well. Who else? Sam Simpson, who's at Seattle Pacific, and he's been playing well to start the year at Seattle Pacific. Who else? Who are other Boise kids that have done that are done well? From trying to think of some of our older kids. That's probably who off the top of my head has done well for the boys side. Our girls have been tearing it up. Tori Williams is at Utah. She had 28 in her first game as a freshman. Mandy Simpson in her first game as a freshman at Oklahoma had 17 rebounds, was freshman of the Big 12 freshman of the month. So those guys are tearing it up. Destiny Slocum, who was a national freshman of the year last year, is transferred. She's at Oregon State. She's sitting out the year.
Right.
So she's doing great. So all those kids are doing great. And you know, so some of the new kids, new up and comers, Delvion Jackson is at UC Davis. He's going to get some minutes down there. He'll do really well in the Big West this year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who else? Boise kids.
What about kids that are still in high school now? You have some potential.
Yeah, we do. We got some kids coming up. So probably our best kid right now is Leon Rice's son, Max Rice, who committed to Boise
mm-hmm.
State.
Sure.
And he had a great summer and did really well. He's going to be really good. Let's see, who else? Ellis
would you
Madison
say that
–
I'm sorry,
go ahead.
Continue. I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say, would you say that most of these kids are kids that you work with?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the kids that we've named are kids that we have worked with.
Wow.
You know, Boise is you know, the culture is still, we're still trying to catch up. So, to be honest with you, for a long time, we were the only group or the only club in the Boise area that were doing development, that were starting kids at a young age and doing development and starting them
right.
from, you know, third grade or fourth grade and then developing them. And so there's a couple of other groups that had high school programs. You know, they would do the AAU with the high school programs. And so even the teams that have high school programs, the Idaho Select, they do a great job. They've had
mm-hmm.
some kids go Division I. Boise Flight, they do a great job. They've had some kids go Division I. But even all of those teams, those kids played for those programs, all of their kids started with Hoop Dreams. I mean, they started because none of them actually did the development. You know what I'm saying? So.
Right, sure.
So
yeah,
I
hear you.
The majority of the kids that are coming out that are either in college right now or coming up, they all started with our program. They all were developed in our program, and then they taught on elsewhere.
Well, that's great. And it sounds to me like you're doing a great job down there, Roberto. And, you know, obviously
I'm
remember
trying.
You from seeing it at UW and seeing a lot of promise there, which really – panned out at Boise State and then went on to the professional ranks, and you played at the highest level in the NBA. So, I mean, you know, you really have had a great career as a player, and now you really are turning it on now as a coach and talent evaluator and trainer and teacher. And that's great. And so getting on to Boise State, I wanted to check with you on this club. I mean, they're really, They got a pretty good program here that Leon Rice has in place. Like I said, I did get a hold of Mike Burns. I'm going to have him on next week. And we've had John Rilly on a lot over time, but he moved on,
yep.
So we need to find a new guy. And Mike looks like he's going to be a good guy to keep us in touch with what's going on the inside of the program. But from looking on the outside, I mean, they just lost to Iowa State last night. You know, 75-64. But up till that point,
yeah.
we're 4-0, and you know they had only one small college opponent. Their first opponent, Eastern Oregon, who they beat handily. But then they beat Southern Utah, they beat UTEP, which is a good solid program, by 2 points,
yeah.
a close game,
yeah.
and they beat Illinois State as well by nearly 20. So they did lose to Iowa State, which is, you know, that's troubling, but they're 4-1 right now, and they've got a stretch of schools. They got a tough matchup coming up with Oregon, who is, I think, the best program in the Pac-12 right now overall, even though Arizona is really carrying a lot of talent this year. But that's going to be it's going to be hard to knock them off. They've been really good, and you're going up against them, Boise State, on December 1st. But it seems
yep.
to me they've got a fairly manageable non-conference schedule. They've got SMU team, which is certainly loaded with talent, and the Grand Canyon team,
yep.
which is pretty good, too, to face. And an up-and-coming Portland
yep.
team with Terry Porter, they're going to be facing them. What's your feel on the Boise State Broncos so far this year and what you know about the team?
I've enjoyed it. Let me really, before we go to Boise State, just want to give you a quick correction because I want to make sure that nobody discredits you. You were talking about
sure.
Seattle U earlier, and you mentioned some of
right.
their players. And you mentioned Roberto Giddens, but actually it's not Roberto Giddens, it's Rashad Giddens that's playing for them.
Oh, Rashad, thank you. Oh, thank you so much for picking up on that. That's great. Well, I don't know why. Obviously, I have like not enough coffee and my brain wasn't quite kicking. I was thinking about Roberto Ferguson, who I was trying to figure out a way to get on the program, and all I was seeing was a blank page. And then I was thinking about Rashad Giddens, of course, from Weber State. Sure.
Or maybe Roberto Giddens from that played at Foss, who's at CSI now. I get those guys mixed up, those two, and
actually that makes even more sense. He's down there at CSI in Twin Falls, Idaho, which is right in your neighborhood down there. And by the way, they've always got great teams. Yeah, absolutely. And have you spoken to Roberto Giddens? How's he doing down there?
So I haven't spoken to him since he's been there at school, but I have spoken to a couple of the coaches down there, and I've spoken to some other people that I'm connected, and they said that he's doing good and doing great and taking care of business. And, he's got a bright future. I'm really excited about him. I was, to be honest with you, when I found out I was going to get this job, I tried to get Roberto to come to the prep school with me as well, just because I'm really, really fond of his upside and obviously he's a hometown guy. I'd love to be able to help our hometown guys out. And so I've heard things. I heard he's doing well.
You went to Decatur, correct, in high school, correct?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And then he went to Foss, I know. So you guys are basically in the same area, real close by, rivals, I guess you'd say.
Yep.
He was one of the really top, truly top players in the Northwest. I mean, I think is his
sure.
the way he what he did on the court was right up there among the best let's just say after Michael and Jontay Porter. But if you take those guys out of the equation, I think he was right there with Jalen Noel and Corey Kispert and Dejon Davis and some of these guys that are all really, really doing well as freshmen this year. So and playing big. I mean, Corey started for Gonzaga. There's been some real success from these freshmen out of the Seattle Tacoma area. So, he was right there, and you can probably expect to see a lot of big things from him once he gets centered on his grades and going into a Division I college program. But any idea where he's at as far as that goes? Do you know anything about what he's trying to do as far as get into school? How soon he'd like to try to get into school and any of that kind of stuff as far as a D1 program?
Well, I know he had committed to Washington State.
Yep.
And then from what I understand, all I know, I mean, that's still a commitment, and they're both still honoring that, and all he's got to do is just, finish his A, and he'll be good. So, we'll see. So
Well, that's news right there, because people you always wonder when someone goes a different way that maybe things change, but that's great news.
Yeah.
So getting back to now that we have gotten back to Boise State, and you've done a real good job of being on top of my mistakes, and I appreciate you doing that, by the way. If you could tell me what your thought is on Boise State at this point. They're like I said, they won games, they look good. What's the program looking like right now to you?
Well, I mean, I think they've just done a great job. Coach Rice and the staff and everybody around has done a great job of just kind of building that culture and developing a sustainable culture. And I think they might have been a little bit surprised at the success that they've had early, just because when they lost so much. But I think once you build that culture and you create that culture, it's kind of sustainable. And I think they've done a good job because they've had a lot of turnaround. I mean, obviously they got potentially the player of the year in the conference, with Chandler, but I think there was so much more turnaround with the guys. I don't think anybody expected them to do as well as they've done, and they've done really well. And I think for me, I was most impressed with the UTEP game because they were down by so much. I mean, they were down. It was, I didn't know how, and they fought and they came back, which is something that I think is always a good test early to see when you got a lot of turnaround and new guys and incoming guys, are you going to be able to withstand the adversity? And they really did. So I was impressed by them, and I'm definitely impressed with what they've been doing. I'm excited to see them have some more success. And the Iowa State game, that's tough. I mean, they're good. Iowa State's really good. So
sure, they are. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so getting back to what's going on with them, I mean, right now Alex Hobbs is leading them in scoring, but they've got a real balanced attack. They got four guys averaging 12 points or better. He's at 14. Christian Stengsalder's at 13. Jessup is at 12. And Chandler Hutchinson's at 12. And then they got a couple guys averaging, 6 points a game. And they seem like they got a nice solid rotation of about seven guys that they're playing a lot of minutes on. And it seems like they're kind of doing what they've done, what he's done, always done there, Leon Rice, is just put together a team that, complements each other, plays great team ball, and knows how to figure out a way to win games. And the UTEP game is a great case in point, just figures out a way to win, and that's what he's been doing there. What about some of the young players? What are you hearing on some of their young players coming in this year so far?
Well, I think I've been hearing a lot of, really good stuff about them. I mean, starting with maybe even some of the, like you talked about, some of the young returners, like Hobbs, who was a big-time scorer coming out of high school. And last year, he was just kind of in and out, and now he's kind of turned that corner and doing well. And then I'm a little bit biased, but Justinian Jessup, you talked about him as well. We call him Jess Blake. Justinian also grew up in our program. Justinian was a hooper.
Okay.
He's from Boise originally, and he ended up moving to Colorado right before high school or whatever. And so I'm definitely biased, and absolutely, because he's my kid. So I love him, and he is. He's a phenomenal player. He just, just shoots it. So those guys are good. And then they've got another kid. They've got a kid who was a redshirt freshman. He redshirted last year. He was a walk-on, but his name is Derek Alston. And his dad actually played professionally and played a little bit, in the NBA and some stuff here. And this kid is just – he's got a tremendous amount of upside. He's like 6'8", but he's still young. He's only like 170, so he's like a toothpick. But he is really skilled. He can shoot it. He knows how to play. He's got a huge future. He's one of those kids that's going to develop later, but he's going to have a big future. He's going to be really good in the future. So it'll be a couple years down the line, but he's going to be good. They also brought in a kid, a Cam Christian kid from Texas, who's going to be good. A couple of their recruits, they got a kid from Tulsa who's a super athlete, who's going to be really, really good. They're really excited about those guys. And I got to see the kid from Tulsa. I got to see him. I was there when he was on his visit and played. Really was impressed with him. The other two kids, I didn't get a chance. I wasn't there on their visit, so I didn't get a chance to see them play. Don't have a good feel about them. But future looks bright. I mean, it looks really good. Obviously, Max Rice, Coach Rice's kid. Again, I'm biased. I'm a fan of his because he came up in our program, so I really like him, and I think he's going to help them. So the future is bright for them. I mean, they're looking good. They've done a really good job.
Well, that's good. I really appreciate you going a little longer. We got a kind of a late start and everything, and you're helping filling me in on a lot of things that are going on with you and with Boise and everything else. I guess only one other question is, UW's got a new coach, and they got obviously a whole new program this year. Any thoughts off the bat on what you're seeing from UW?
Oh, I love it. I love the energy. I love all of the, it seems like they're really, really focused on, again, the same thing like Boise State, just culture, just really developing that culture to where it's just some excitement and stuff. I got to see this weekend, I had my prep school at a tournament in Connecticut and saw Cam. Cam was out there on the road recruiting, so I know they're working hard. They're putting in the time. They're scouring the universe to make sure that they hit everywhere. And then obviously they did a great job of keeping those guys, keeping Jalen, keeping those in-home guys.
Yeah.
And I know they're going to hit those guys hard too. And it's loaded. I mean, the talent level and the basketball talent right now in the Northwest and the Seattle area and Tacoma area is just incredible. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
So
it is.
The players are there. Obviously Coach Hopkins is, he is a West Coast guy, but being in Syracuse for so long, he got his chance to expand, his recruiting base to the East Coast. And I think they're going to, I'm excited to see what happens. I think they're going to kill it. So
Yeah, I think they're having to rebuild it. You probably heard some of my opinions. I'm real disappointed that they fired Lorenzo. I thought the timing was really wrong, but nonetheless, it's been done. So for Husky fans, you got to look at it. They just got to rebuild it again, and it seems to me like they're working hard and have their heart in it. And yes, absolutely, Jalen Noel is a great player, and Noah Dickerson's continuing to develop, and all these guys are gotten a year older, and they took some lumps last year, and they're fighting a little bit harder, and they're just a little bit smarter too. So it's going to get better. Yeah. It's definitely going to get better. So well, anyway, Roberto, it's really great talking to you. Yeah, we're going to talk. Any last parting words on what's going on in Boise that's of interest to what you're doing?
Nothing much. I think we hit everything. I'm good, man. I just appreciate you having me on, and just love having a dialogue. So it's good to talk hoops.
That's great. I just want to give you an opportunity to plug whatever you're working on, but I know that you got plenty to do, and we're going to be in touch with you soon anyway. So let's keep in touch, and let's talk soon. I'd like to hear more about your team as we get closer to, maybe tournament time, or maybe even closer to conference play and things like that. Let's keep in touch.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Coach Bergerson. All right. Well, we should have Coach Earlywine on here any minute now. I just want to make sure that, I'm sure he's probably going to be calling in any minute to talk some Idaho Vandals basketball. In the meantime, just speaking on, I spoke a little bit about Seattle U, and I missed Rashad Gittins, of course. I keep on making these mistakes. but he had a, he kind of had a down game. But then they came back and they played the Belmont team that Washington beat, and it shows that win over Belmont in Heck Ed was quite an accomplishment in their opening game. And you obviously, Coach Hopkins and Coach Dollar and that staff really had them ready to play well, and they played well against a real tough Belmont team that, gets into the tournament more often than not. I mean, they're always in the tournament, of course, out of a really small league, but they really put it to Seattle U. Seattle U hung with them for most of the game. They were within, I think they were up, actually, in the last 5 minutes quite a bit, but Belmont went away, ran away with it, and sort of ultimately in the end, and that's kind of what happened. So, but that being said, Jordan Hill, consistently was a real threat. Kavis got off finally and really put up some numbers. The Seattle U team is really a balanced quad, and I think that they're going to be a real challenge for the Huskies who, let's just face it. I mean, they played hard against Providence and fought and scrapped and, were in that game, right down to the end, but lost it. And it just seemed like, that was it was kind of a letdown after they lost that game. They really got beat really badly, truthfully, by Virginia Tech. And that's, the Virginia Tech is a good team though. I mean, let's be real. They're a strong team with a strong program. Had a lot of veteran players. And that, I think, unfortunately, that's what we're going to be seeing this year from the Huskies is, I think they're still very young, and they're actually quite a bit more thin. Most importantly, more thin, and especially up front. So that's going to be a problem, going into this Pac-12. I mean, it's just not going to be easy with the kind of talent level, and some of these teams are much more experienced, although UW would have been more experienced this year than they were, certainly than they were last year. But without all the extra talent and depth that class of 2017 would have provided, and what, who knows who else they could have added to it over the course of the spring and such. I think that this is pretty much literally less than half of the team that they could have had. I mean, I understand that people are complaining and saying, oh, Michael Porter's sick and Jonte Porter's just a freshman and Blake Harris and blah, 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 Dejon Davis and Mamadou Diarra and whatnot. But I just think the talent level is a very big part of basketball. Yeah, otherwise, you know, people wouldn't be out there doing shady criminal things to try to get it, and to the point where the FBI is getting involved. You know, talent is a very important part of basketball. That's why, you know, these people like John Calipari and everything have these systems where they're able to get the, you know, all these top 10 picks every single year. They get like half of them. And that's why Oregon does what they do with getting all these transfers, and now they're getting 5 stars, and they just reload their team every single year somehow magically, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, and Rick Pitino and Bobby Blue in Kansas, and, you know, Carolina with their phony classes and this, that, and the other. I mean, it's just, its power has corrupted the sport so much. And, you know, and because you need talent to win, and you need to win to keep your job if you're a coach and an AD and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what it is. And, you know, UW just doesn't have a lot of talent. But like Roberto Bergeson said, they're out there working hard trying to get recruit talent, and they got some guys signed here this month. That was encouraging. Ed Chang, it looks like he's going to reclassify, and Garfield is going to be loaded. So maybe they can, you know, kind of rebuild the bridge with Brandon Roy and Jamal Williams and all those guys at Garfield, and make some inroads to getting some of those players like Jerron Brooks, who's visiting St. John's right now. And others, that P.J. Fuller, who's now going to be on that team, and the list goes on. I mean, on and on and on and on and on. Jalen McDaniels, Marshawn Beauchamp, you know, Pierre Cockrell, Jermon Kemp, blah, 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 blah. There's so many good players on the Garfield squad. So if you want to see a squad that's going to be a real solid winner, again, watch Brandon Roy's squad this year. You like rooting for a winner. I just like good basketball, and I just happen to particularly like Brandon Roy and Jamal Williams and those guys. But I'm a Roosevelt High School guy, but I've always thought that, you know, Garfield was, and, you know, Rainier Beach the last, you know, 25 years has been, they've been the top programs along with Franklin, and they've really dropped off. But I just like watching the young talent coming up, and they seem to have most of it. And they're going to do real well. They're going to do very, very well. So I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully there's no problems with the way that the system's working. Because a lot of times when there's problems with the network, you have problems getting people on the air. So I'm going to go ahead and just check and see if I can roust about our friend Coach Earlywine from Idaho, Moscow, Idaho, and see what he's doing. Kind of curious, and I'm wondering if he's going to call. It's been that kind of a day. At least we got Roberto Bergeson on there. We'll see what's going on with Coach Earlywine. Maybe something happened, and he got confused about the time. Of course, we're all so, you know. Well, they're in. They're in Pacific Standard Time in Moscow, Idaho. But, you know, hopefully there's no bug there and we'll be able to get him on. But if not, we'll get him on soon. But just to finish kind of some of the thoughts that I was having about Washington, you know, they're playing Seattle U this coming Friday. That's going to be a big game here in the city. Seattle U is definitely an emerging program, a program that, you know, is probably rated low in the preseason rankings as far as the WAC conference at number 5. I just think they're going to do better than that. They got these 3 grad transfers. They've got that big center Menzies. They've got a couple of really good sophomores in Morgan Means and Matej Kavis. And then they've got a really fine freshman point guard in Aaron Nettles from Seattle Prep. You know, I think that's going to be that's going to be probably one of the top 3 teams in the WAC, I think. And who knows, maybe they'll get lucky and knock off a Grand Canyon, who's also a very good team, or a New Mexico State, which is also, you know, traditionally the top team there and has a, you know, traditionally a very good record. And so we'll just see what happens with all that. And I think that there's an excellent chance that they're going to make some noise. Conversely, Washington is playing for pride. I don't think there's much of a chance at all that they're going to make some noise in the Pac-12. I think they're, you know, like I said, they're a bottom tier team this year because of their lack of depth, especially post depth. They don't really have a point guard that really instills a lot of confidence. I think David Crisp is a really good combo guard. I think he's gotten better and he's continuing to work hard on his game. And I think he's working hard to be a point guard. But, you know, it's a sort of a fait. It's not fait accompli. It's something that needs to be worked on still. But, you know, he's a scrapper. He's going to work and he's going to do it. So there's going to be some success, I believe. And I think they're going to improve over what they did last year. There's no question about that. You know, I think what they did last year was horrifying, winning two conference games. I think they'll win about six. And I think there's teams out there that they can beat. But the Pac-12 is really tough. The Pac-12 is really, really tough. Colorado just won their tournament. You know, that's, and I was thinking they'd be one of the maybe potentially teams that Washington might be able to top, you know. Washington State looks improved. I mean, this guy, you know, Skaggs is really something else. He just put on a real show against Seattle U. He's a load. I mean, he's, you know, he's something else. I mean, and again, only a freshman, very impressive there. You know, and they've got, you know, they've got some problems up front too, like Washington. So again, they're going to be pretty soft up front, and teams like Arizona and Oregon and, you know, these just, you know, national class, you know, teams that are basically top 10 teams really nationally, USC, Oregon, and Arizona, you know, one dirtier than the next, you want my opinion, to be honest with you. But, and then you got to throw in UCLA, which is, you know, another story that's, I think, going to find its way into the FBI reports. And then, of course, you know, beyond that, Stanford is got some real solid post play there with Matt Humphrey, with Reed Travis. I just don't understand how Washington, with basically two post guys, is going to be able to play against these guys. You know, these coaches in the Pac-12 do a really good job of scouting teams. They're going to try to get Dickerson and Timmons in foul trouble, and which is can be done. I've seen it happen before. And you'll be down to guys like DeRusso and Hamir Wright, who's real undersized, five-guard lineups, you know, kind of all kinds of trick stuff with the zone and everything else. But, you know, there's some real veteran big men that they're going to be going up against at the top tier of that league. And you really got to add Arizona State to that mix now as well. And Oregon State is much more talented, unfortunately, than Washington at this stage, really. They've got, seems like to me, well, I don't know. I think Oregon State's, I shouldn't say much more talented. I think they're somewhat on par, but I just have a better feeling about their overall level of play so far. But, you know, it's hard to say. There's still a lot of games to be played, and the Huskies have really competed well. So, in a lot of ways, had a couple of down moments for sure. But especially this last game, and hopefully they can really bounce back with some renewed enthusiasm and optimism, and hope it doesn't take the optimism factor out of their sails. And I know with people like me, you know, talking truth about the you know, their talent level, it probably doesn't help either. But I got to be honest. I mean, this is just kind of what I've been doing for a long time. And I was being completely honest when I said that they should never have filed Lorenzo and lost the opportunity to bring Michael and Jonte Porter in there, and not to mention, you know, Diarra, who's putting up great numbers in, you know, limited minutes because they got such a veteran group there of fourth and fifth year players that are all high level big men, and they're probably a top 15 program over there at Cincinnati. But he's figuring out a way to scrape out minutes. This guy, I'm telling you, that was one of the biggest disappointments of all, was Mamadou Diarra to me, because he's just such a scrappy player that could have really gone a long ways to, you know, helping a team like Washington that's got some pretty scrappy guards. You know, you got Jalen Noel, you've got David Crisp, you've got Matisse Thybulle, who's shown some good signs here early, and you've got that's pretty much about it. But I mean, those are the guys that really stepped up for me, and those are the veterans, and the Noel. And I think that they, you know, with a sturdy group of post players, they could have really done something. But then you also got to figure Dejon Davis, Blake Harris, as well in that mix. You know, it's just a shame. What could have been at Washington was a team that could have competed, in my opinion, with those top teams. And all this BS about Romar being such a bad coach is just so stupid. I mean, you know, it's just so wrong. I mean, what he had to deal with his recruiting problems was horrendous. I mean, he did make some mistakes, but he corrected those mistakes. He got a staff together that was able to get together, a group of players that's, there would not have been a better player in the Pac-12 this year. Not Chimezie Metu, not Alonzo Trier, not Deron Ristic, not anyone, not Benny Boatwright. None of the players in the Pac-12 this year would have been as good as Michael Porter Jr. I can guarantee that. In fact, none of the players in the 2018 draft would have been as good as Michael Porter Jr. In fact, none of the players in any draft going back a number of years would have been as good as Michael Porter Jr. Once we talk about this from 20 years from now. So this is just a horrendous, horrendous loss for Washington and Seattle, Tacoma, Puget Sound area basketball fans to not have an opportunity to see him play for a year and to carry the Washington legacy forward to another great NBA success, probably the greatest NBA success very possibly of anyone who's ever played at Washington. Can you imagine just walking away from that, how stupid that would be? Well, that's what we might have to face 30 years from now. So, I mean, there's people that are going to go on and on and on about Romar was such a horrible coach. What they don't understand is that he was a good coach when he had talent, depth, and experience. And he did a good job in certain cases of getting a lot out of teams that didn't have a lot to begin with. He worked hard, and he had a hard time getting talent because he went after guys that put a lot of energy in the guys that end up, for lack of a better word, screwing him in the end for whatever reason. I don't know if I can really point any fingers right this very minute as far as what the specifics were of who got paid and how and why. But it's a dirty business, and however that stuff goes, there's a bunch of guys that he had that were leaning towards him and Washington for a long time. And then all of a sudden, very late in the game, end up going somewhere else, even committed to him and Washington, and turned around and go somewhere else. So it's a tough business. He ended up on the bad side of it, but he figured out a way to deal with it. And he was going to figure out a way to deal with the fact that staff wasn't really prepared to coach these guys that well. So he had to find a sort of a soft spot between there. And I think he would have brought in Cameron Dollar. And I think that Dollar would have helped him coach defense with this group this year. And I think that Michael Porter Sr. and Will Conroy, those guys would have continued the recruiting excellence and the contacts and the network of recruiting that they had built up. And I just think the program, the 2018 class, the 2019 class, the overall thing would be in such better shape right now than it is. But that's what's going on. Mike Hopkins is the coach, and Jim Hayford's the coach over there at Seattle U. And right now you got a team that's a upper team, tier team in the WAC playing against a lower tier team in the PAC. And they're also local teams with a little bit of pride on the line. So all bets are off, man. It's going to be a fight this Friday. And I'm obviously disappointed that Kirk Earlywine wasn't able to get through for some reason. I don't know what happened there. He's a good guy. I don't think he did it on purpose. I'm sure it's some kind of technical problem. But nonetheless, we are here, and we've been able to air my my laundry about this Washington and the Seattle U programs. And I'm very encouraged by Seattle U, very encouraged by what Coach Hayford is doing. I thought it was a really good hire. He's definitely coming with the big moves, recruiting wise, talent wise. You know, he's got a couple of guys that are basically, you know, well, Trevon Hopkins is kind of a level of player that Washington's been able to recruit the 2018 class, truthfully. So, you know, he's going to continue to really build something there at Seattle U, which is really encouraging. Again, with Garfield, I mean, they're going to have a chance to compete for a national championship. Don't kid yourself. They're a deeper team. They're a deeper team than what he had at Nathan Hale. Of course, he had Michael Porter Jr. and Jonte Porter, who were, and Jonte is probably a top five pick in a couple of years, and Michael is probably the number one pick this coming June. But that really helped. At the top end of it, they had P.J. Fuller, too, who was a sophomore. But after that, there wasn't a lot of D1 players on that team. And yet, you know, a few maybe when all said and done. But this Garfield, it's all high major. Garfield is the kind of team that Nathan Hale beat that impressed people. Teams like Oak Hill, teams like, you know, that have these deep rosters of D1 players. That's what he's building at Garfield this year. I mean, he's got a deep roster of high-level recruited D1 players as opposed to three guys that are in that category, albeit two really, really good ones and one extremely good one. He's got, you know, let's just say eight players that are going to be recruited by almost everybody in the country, kind of a thing. It's good. It's good what he's got going at Garfield. So that's a team that you're going to want to see. And I know it's going to be a really hard ticket to get. A lot of those games are going to be sold out, and that's going to be something else to watch this year. And don't forget that Rainier Beach is darn near I mean, they can beat Garfield. They do it year in, year out. So it's going to be an interesting matchup between those two. And they got a guy named Kevin Porter who's going to USC, who's, you know, I'd say probably the top player in the region right now. So, yeah, they're maybe a little bit more top-heavy than Garfield. So there's that, you know, and there's a number of other teams, West Seattle, Seattle Prep, and O'Day. There's a bunch of good teams in the metro area, and I'm sure I'm forgetting a lot of people in Tacoma, as we always tend to do. You know, there's Wilson High School in Tacoma. There's a number of others that are going to be strong too. It's going to be a great year in high school basketball. So the fact that UW is unfortunately down and having to rebuild all over again is not the biggest tragedy for basketball fans. We got all this great high school basketball to look at. And then we got a Seattle U team that, you know, I'm really rooting for, and I'm going to be spending a lot of time watching. So I don't think it's going to be as big of a tragedy. It's a big tragedy that I didn't get a chance to talk to Coach Earlywine, but that's what I'm going to straighten that out with him. I'm sure we're going to have him on soon, if not next week, and we'll get that all together. So, but it's going to be a fun year in basketball. Like I said, the Cougars are kind of in a similar place to Washington, very soft up front, but they seem to have a little bit more on the ball overall. But I think they're, you know, I think it's like that. I think Cougars and Huskies and, you know, maybe a team like Cal. You know, I just don't know who in the Pac-12, Washington and Washington State are gonna be able to really handle. I mean, they're gonna maybe get some upsets, especially at home and such as that. And you know they're gonna upset some of these teams at home if they're playing hard and the crowd's behind them and Hopkins and Dollar and those guys have them playing great defense. And you know you get those bounces at home. You get those. You maybe get a little bit better refereeing at home in the Pac-12, as we all know, and you win a few more games. But I look at like Stanford, Colorado, maybe Colorado is fool's gold at this point. Maybe Colorado is one of those bottom four teams that Washington might be able to bump ahead to, or Washington State might be able to bump ahead to get that 9 spot. None of these teams, though, I think are going to go to the tournament. I mean, I think it's the Pac-12. You've got Oregon. I mean, there's no two ways about it. They're the top program in the Pac-12. Number two, you got Arizona, and they're just completely loaded. So they're also one of the top programs in the Pac-12. They're kind of Kentucky West, and they're out there now. They got Lorenzo Romar, and I know he's definitely improving their ability to get players and to build credibility, I think, moving forward. And that's a whole different discussion, what's going on there with him. We'll just have to find out soon enough as this FBI process moves on. But and then beyond that, you got USC, which is, you know, under Andy Enfield over the course of a few years, really turned it on recruiting wise and kind of back to where they were, where it's, a murderer's row of top level NBA player types, coming in the door, and, that they're getting into the final list with a bunch of top 20 players, you know, Billy Preston, and, you know, they didn't get him, but you know, that kind of a player, and they're getting a few of them. So, I know D'Anthony Melton has been mentioned in this FBI thing, I believe. I don't know for sure, but I know that there's some question as far as the concerns about his eligibility because of some of this. And so they're kind of holding on to see what happens there. But that's going to be a powerhouse team this year, no question. They've been showing it well here early. He's got so much talent, it's kind of hard to lose. And so, and then again, UCLA with the problems with the, over in China, you know, LeVar Ball and whatnot and everything else, but they're so talented, and you know, Alford is a good enough coach to be able to get a tournament team out of those guys. I believe Jalen Hands is a very spectacular freshman, and they've got a veteran group that have been there for a while. I mean, Aaron Holiday, Prince Ali, Thomas Welsh, and it goes on and on and on there. So they're going to be there. That's four tournament teams. And then, you know, I think Stanford's a tournament team. I really do. I think they're going to be as much as Eastern Washington went down there and beat them, I think that they've got what it takes. But, you know, again, they might be a little soft, so you got to figure maybe a Utah, who just manhandled Missouri without Michael Porter Jr. and with a lot of injuries and such. They just year in, year out, they get it done. And with Larry Christoyak, who I believe is the best coach in the Pac-12, I do. I mean, there's obviously Hopkins is very young and it's his first year as a head coach, but there's other guys that could become great. Who knows? But right now he is. And unlike Dana Altman, he doesn't have Nike and Phil Knight and that whole down there of clowns to embellish what he does. But he's a great coach too, Altman. But I think Chris Doyak, he's done such a great job of finding talent, developing talent, and just winning games. He's been able to do consistent work there for sure, and bring that program back strong. I guess that's another team that could squeeze in, as crazy as it sounds, with everyone saying how they were so depleted with all the losses that they had this last year. But he always finds a way to do it. So, and then there's And then there's Oregon State, who, you know, bringing in Ethan Thompson and, you know, bringing back Drake, Drew Eubanks to add to bring back Trey Tinkle to add to Drew Eubanks and Stevie Thompson. I mean, that's four players that are pretty darn good, but they're kind of thin, but they're certainly more talented than Washington's top four players. But I think that, you know, Washington, we'll see if they can muster the depth. The problem is of Washington going up against a team like Oregon State, Oregon State has five big guys. They have five big guys who are, you know, look to be able to play at a Pac-12 level. Washington, two maybe, you know. And so that's going to be a problem week in, week out in the Pac-12 and also in this non-conference schedule. So, you know, it's just going to – he's going to need to work those guys really hard to develop a system that's going to work with sort of a four-guard kind of a look that's going to be functional. So, you know, it can be done. It can be done with the zone defense, and Cameron Dollar's done wonders with defense here and there in his career. And I think it's possible Washington could come out on top of that bottom group. I don't think it's possible that they're going to make the NCAA tournament. I don't believe it's possible they're going to make 500. But I think they might be able to, you know, seven games would be tremendous. And I would seriously hold, you know, completely be thrilled as a lifelong Husky fan if they were able to win seven games. As far as the Cougs go, about the same kind of thing. If they were able to win six, seven games with, you know, the very limited post players that they have going up against all these monster teams in the Pac-12, I'd also be thrilled. You know, so, and, you know, so it's, that's where it's at. I think Colorado and Oregon State and California have big men, and I think they're going to be tough for these state Pac-12 teams to beat. So, you know, we'll look at that and we'll see how it plays out. You know, guards matter, that's for sure. But then again, Washington doesn't really have a point guard. Washington State does. So that, in that respect, I suppose I'd say that Washington State's probably better than Washington ultimately. But, you know, that's why they play the games. That's why you teach these guys to play over the course of their careers in college. And maybe Mike Hopkins and Cameron Dollar and Will Conroy and Dave Rice will do a better job of that than Ernie and his staff, who, by the way, seem to be getting some really good talent. I mean, I was amazed by Skaggs, and I'm really optimistic that he's going to have a great year. And, you know, and then you've got over there at Washington State, you've also got Aqua, who looks really good. You've got Malachi Flynn, who's back for his sophomore year and looks about the same, you know, but solid, you know, Robert Franks, who looks improved. And so on and so forth. So there's definitely some positives over there. But again, I think Washington State are probably your bottom two teams in the Pac-12. And if they can do better than that, I'm extremely happy. So I guess my expectations are so low that I can't be unhappy about the Huskies or the Cougars. And as far as Gonzaga goes, you know, they're looking pretty impressive. They're just loaded with talent. That's the problem with Washington soon to be facing them soon. You can't face up to these teams that have three times as much talent as you do. And you know, you got they just got a lot of talent. They got a lot of experience. They got two guards that have been in the program for 4 years. You know, and they've got depth, and they've got shooters, and they've got Hashimura, who's being picked as a first rounder, slated as a first rounder in the 2018 draft, even though he was a role player last year on a team that went to the championship game. I mean, they're just so far ahead of Washington. It's not funny, you know. Then again, you bring in Michael Porter, Jonte Porter, blah 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 blah. You got yourself a game of it. You got yourself a fighting chance. You got talent. You got depth. You got size. You got all those things going for you. Maybe you're younger, a little bit younger than Gonzaga, but you got Michael Porter Jr. I mean, the guy seriously, you know, he'd more or less score as many points as you need. That's what he does. I mean, that's what the guy did all year for Nathan Hale last year. You know, you need 100 points. You score, he'll score 80. I mean, he's just, you know, he's an incredible player. So, you know, I'm disappointed that that didn't happen from the standpoint of making this year that much more special. But we got a lot of good things to talk about. And, hey, you know, but we also are running out of time here. It's the end of the show, and it's time to go. And we'll see you next week on Talking Hoops. And from the great Bob Robertson, and he's still with us and still does a couple of games here and there down at Tacoma. Be a good sport. Always be a good sport. Be a good sport always. So long.